Well, good morning. And it is a fine one. Amen. Great to be together. I had this thought during worship of when we were singing about the river. How many know that the river of God's it's a reality? That you wouldn't know this from the earth perspective, but astronomers and astrophysicists, they tell us that, of course, we are, as a planet, we've got the moon that circulates around us, and then us with the moon circulates around the sun, as do all the other planets in the solar system. But they say that our solar system itself is orbiting through the galaxy in a spiral motion. So where we always see it modeled, it's modeled like flat, but it's actually we're spiraling through the universe together as a solar system. Now, you wouldn't have any way to feel that, right? That we just accept those facts based on somebody who can put the theory together, prove it by, you know, through quantum physics and through telescopes, et cetera. But they demonstrate to us that that is a reality. Like right now, it's a reality. We are spiraling through the universe, seated on planet Earth. And you might accept that. Well, the river of life is a reality. That the scripture says that there is a river, the streams thereof make glad the city of God. It says that there's a river, John saw it in his vision, it flows from the Lamb and from the throne, and it flows down from Jesus into his people. He said in us that he said their salvation would be like a spring of water springing up in John chapter 4. Then in John chapter 7, he said it would be like a river flowing, of living waters flowing. And it said this he spoke about the Holy Spirit. That's a reality. And your connection to God, your life does not consist in your soul realm, your mind and your will and your emotions. Your life is connected to your spirit that is connected to him by the reality of the river of life. And so when life seems like it gets clogged up, it's a spiritual issue. It's not a mental issue. And you got to get that stirred up. You got to reestablish that connection. When in the Old Testament, when Isaac was stepping out in his covenant that was passed down from him from his father, there's an illustration given that everywhere he went, and where his herds could feed and he could spread out and begin to prosper, the Philistines would put rocks in his well. That was their strategy to stop his prosperity, to stop his covenant. They would throw rocks in his well. Guess what? The enemy puts rocks in your well. He only exists for one reason, to steal, kill, and destroy. He's throwing stones in your well. You've got to unplug that. You just have to ask Jesus. You have to pray, Lord, just remove the stones from my well so your river that flows from you and the throne of God can flow freely to me and flow freely through me. Amen? I really felt that was a word for people. Like that was an illustration. I saw that. You just get your well cleared up, you'll be okay. It's not your head. Your spirit, you need a flow back into your spirit. Amen? Okay, glory. We're talking today, that's not super clear, hope you can see it, the second breath, Ezekiel 37. The graphics are for a very specific reason that we will discover as we go. So let's pray right now. Father, you're amazing. We thank you that you are a good, good Father. Thank you for the opportunity as your sons and your daughters today to gather in your precious name, in your glorious name, your majestic name. And I just, something in me, God, wants to say, today could be the day. But I thank you that you've got suddenly's plan for the people of God, that you've got breakout, breakthrough, that you have set us on a course that's absolutely amazing. And your scripture said, eyes not seen, nor ears heard, nor yet entered into the heart of man, the things that God's prepared for those who love him. And I believe you that those things that we haven't seen yet, we haven't heard yet, you have prepared them. And the day's coming, the release of these things are coming. And so I bless the people of God with patience. I thank you for great joy today. And I ask that a spirit of wisdom and revelation would be released in this place to renew our faith, to quicken us, God, to give us new hope and to encourage us. In Jesus' name, if you're in agreement, give somebody a high five. Amen. Thank you for that. That's a great amen. Ezekiel 36:23. Oh, you can see it. Okay. It says, "And I will sanctify," this is God speaking, first person, "and I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst, and the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I'm hallowed in you before their eyes." To profane means to wound or to dissolve or to defile, to weaken or make common. And now God's coming through the prophet Ezekiel. The nation is in captivity. They were taken captive under Nebuchadnezzar, hauled off to Babylon, and they were losing their identity as a people. And they were mixing in with the culture, and they were finding intermarriage, and all kinds of stuff happened because they got cut off from their land, they got cut off from their worship, and now they were in a strange land, and the culture was invading their convictions as the people of God, and it was starting to dissolve. And they didn't really have the ability to, as the Lord said, as soon as I'm hallowed or I'm sanctified in your midst or I'm set apart in your midst or I'm identifiable in your midst, he goes, then I'm going to do this great thing, not for you, but for my name's sake. But they really didn't have the ability to do that because, again, their problem was they were under captivity and they're intermarried and intermingled. And the prophets began to say that God's going to do something to set his name apart in the nations. He's going to settle the discussion. He's going to settle the arguments. He's going to do something profound. So people will know that he's your God and you are his people. And they're going to see the signs and wonders associated with that. And his name will be sanctified even among the heathen. Amen. Amen. I believe that's happening. That God is going to move in such a way that his name is going to be sanctified, set apart. And we're going to hallow him. He's going to be seen that way in our midst first. That the commonality of, that's part of the reason for a declaring a fast is taking time where you separate yourself to God. And he talks about sanctify the Lord God in your heart. In other words, be able to identify that place within your being that God dwells and he communicates with you. That's part of what fasting is about, to clarify that fact of God in you and that he speaks to you and that you're his son and you're his daughter. That's part of what a fast is about. God said that process is going to take place, and then I'm going to sanctify my name. So the promise that Ezekiel released goes like this. For I will take you from among the nations, and I'll gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Now, I didn't know what that connection was going to be, but it was just this morning where he quickened that and said, in that same situation Doug was talking about where God touched his back, I remember the progression of the word was this, that God pulled us up front and we came forward to receive a new enthusiasm that John was preaching about, that a new zeal, a new excitement for God, a new enthusiasm. And then he showed me that illustration where Jesus was talking to his disciples. And he said, you're already clean because of the word that I've spoken over you. But the one thing that remains that needs to be clean is just your feet. And so that's why he implemented, one of the reasons he implemented foot washing is he just said, you've already received me. You're walking with me. The word I've declared, you've received in your heart. You're already clean. You just need your feet cleaned. And then the word went on to say, and this is a sign, God said, I'm going to line backs. I'm going to heal backs. And so Doug shared his testimony, but there's been other people that said the same thing happened to them. And that's just a sign to connect us with the fact that the promise is real. And Ezekiel said, part of what I'm going to do is I separate you out as a people for myself. I'm going to sprinkle clean water on you and you're going to be clean. I'm going to make the cleansing. I'm going to declare the cleansing from your filthiness and from your idols. And he said, and I'll give you a new heart and I'll put a new spirit within you. I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh and I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and you will keep my judgments and do them. So he's prophesying 500 years before Christ about this covenant that God was going to make. And then it shows up again in Jeremiah's prophetic writings, almost the same, a new heart, a new spirit. And then Jesus talks about it. You must be born again. Then the Apostle Paul elaborates on it. And that's part of the good news that they carried to the Gentiles was this very thing. God's doing a new work. He's calling you out. He's cleansing you because of what he did through his blood. And then he gives you a new heart. He does this internal transformation. He gives you a new spirit, so now you're a vessel that's been cleansed by God, able to connect with God. And then he said this, not only do I give you a new heart and a new spirit, then I'm putting my spirit in you. Now we have a connection, a firsthand connection. Remember Jesus told the disciples, the Holy Spirit is with you, but he's going to be in you. How many know you have more of an advantage than anybody that walked with God in the Bible times? More than John, Jesus said, John was the prophet. There's not been a greater man that's been born since John the Baptist, bar none. But he said, but he is still least, or the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than him. The least. In other words, he knew what was going to happen after he raised from the dead. He appeared to his disciples. He breathed on them, said, receive the Holy Spirit. And he gave them a firsthand connection with the throne of God through Jesus Christ. We have an amazing connection. We have an amazing opportunity. A new heart, a new spirit. Take out the stony heart. Give us put his spirit in us and cause us to walk in his way so that we weren't people struggling to try to keep an outward ordinance, an outward commandment written in stone, but instead he took away the stone and he engraved it on our hearts and he said, you'll walk in it because my spirit is in you. Woo, that's good news. Verse 28. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers. You shall be my people. I'll be your God. What an awesome opportunity there. I'll deliver you from all your uncleanness. I'll call for the grain. Listen, and this is the other thing. I'll do an inward transformation, but then I'm going to prosper you. I'll call for the grain and multiply it. I'll bring no famine upon you. And I'll multiply the fruit of your trees and the increase of your fields so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. How is that for an awesome promise? And you know, he did. He called his people back together. Israel was released from captivity to return to Jerusalem. They began to rebuild. And then we see as we come more into modern history what happened to Israel. After Jesus' time, 70 AD, General Titus came in, leveled it, took apart the temple stone by stone, walked into the Holy of Holies to capture the Ark of the Covenant. No judgment came and fell on him. The Jews were in disarray. They were in unbelief. God surely has forsaken us again. And they scattered once again all over the earth. And then again, this prophetic word began to come true. Everything that they had to go through in the Holocaust as they were scattered, that they paid this price and this spirit came over them to begin. Testimonies. There we go. Thousands of testimonies. People that weren't even Christians. They really weren't even practicing Jews. It came to them in dreams. It came to them in all kinds of different messaging system. You must return to the land. You must return to the land. They came from all over the world and resettled again in that area now that's called Israel and Jerusalem. God said, I brought them back again. He poured out wisdom and technology and favor and finances. They were able to, when you go to Israel and you see in the desert, the miles of greenhouses, they're prospering as a nation. He brought out of the wilderness of prosperity because of a covenant he made with them. And it says that these things were written for our learning on whom the end of the age has come. In other words, all of the principles of God that he's manifested in his faithfulness towards Israel, it's directed to you and me. We have a covenant through Jesus Christ. Paul made that super clear in Galatians chapter 3. The same promise that God is fulfilling towards the Jews, he said, you and I got grafted into. In other words, you get a new heart, you get a new spirit, you get internal transformation, and then God begins to call for prosperity to come over your life and my life. Amen? It's a sign. He said he was going to do this. So he gave the promise. Now here's the plan. This is Ezekiel speaking about himself after seeing all these things. He said, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones. John shared about this a few weeks ago. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. How many know God knows? How many know that God can look right into 2018, see all of his people everywhere around the world, and he knows? He knows our frustrations. He knows our hope. He knows our faith. He knows what we're believing for. He knows what we're asking for. He knows what we need. He knows where we're struggling in relationships. He knows where we're struggling in health. Oh, God, can these bones live? You know. Amen? I ask him, can these bones live? He knows. He's quickening us. He's doing amazing things for us in our health. Phenomenal. And he said, again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. So what is the promise? Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. So that God gave him a plan and a promise, or he gave him a promise, and here's the plan. I'm going to cause you to prophesy, and as you prophesy, breath is going to enter into them, and there's going to be a transformation in this valley of dry bones to all of the dry bones. And he says, wait, is that right? Did I skip one? Hold on. Yep, okay. Six. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Again, then you're going to know. I'm going to do something so supernatural. I'm going to do something amazing, this valley of dry bones. I'm going to visit them. I'm going to take them from bones, and I'm going to restore them to full-fledged human beings, working, functioning human beings. And it's going to be so miraculous, then you'll know that I'm the Lord. And then you'll hollow me in the eyes of the heathen, and then I'll sanctify my name in the earth. Amen? He's got a plan. He has a plan. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews. So when I began to see this, it was like, again, our title this morning is The Second Breath. In this first breath, this first prophesying, what happened? They began to come together. There was a noise, a sudden rattling. Bones came together, bone to bone. And then he saw the sinews. And I just interpreted that as we've come together and organized with rattling a noise. Amen? Bone to bone, we've linked up like the sinews to sinews. That we're doing our part. God has breathed, and he's called out through Jesus' work. He's called out what's called the body of Christ, the believers all over the world, connected together through him. And there's lots of noise. There's lots of rattling. But we have been called out. We're beginning to emerge. And then the flesh came over them and skin covered them. We've been imparting strength and power by equipping and training the flesh and the muscles. And we've been covering, defending, making whole, and teaching integrity. That's like the skin. So the body's beginning to be seen. It's beginning to emerge. But after that, there was still no breath in them. And what was the promise? I'll breathe in you, and you shall live. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. Breathe on these slain. If we went to verse 11, it reads this way, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel, say whole. That means everybody. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. He called them slain. Even though they were coming together, their bones were coming together, even though there's flesh, even though there were sinews and skin on them, they began to be recognizable as human beings, but yet there was still no life in them, and he referred to them still as being slain. You know, when we think of the Valley of Dry Bones, our first thought could be it's like, you know, visiting a cemetery or a graveyard. But that really wasn't what it was. It was a battlefield. And he was visiting the battlefield, and the testimony of the people that were lying dead was they had been defeated. It wasn't just that they had starved or they got, you know, because they were refugees now cut off from the land of Israel and in Babylonian captivity, and they just withered, or it wasn't just a commentary about the general state of things, although it was a general commentary about the state of things. But the issue was that they were in a battlefield and they had lost the battle, and they were dry and they were lost and they were cut off, and that was the common feeling among the whole group. And Ezekiel did what God said. He prophesied and he saw the first fruits, but now he was told to prophesy again a second time. And he said, say to the breath, thus says the Lord, come forth, or come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. Whenever you see the four winds in Scripture, it always talks about the four corners, the four winds of the earth. It's symbolic of a global move. It's symbolic of God calling from the east, the west, the north, and the south for a full movement for the whole house, for everybody to be touched. Amen? It's an action, a decision, or a judgment from heaven that affects the whole earth. How many know that judgments can be good? When God from his throne makes a judgment in your favor, it's a good thing. Everything in heaven and earth and under the earth has to get out of the way, has to adjust, has to align so his promise can come to pass in your life and in my life. There was a time in Daniel that said, I saw the Ancient of Days seated and judgment was made in favor of the saints. How many know we need some judgments in favor of the saints? Because we've been dry. There's been bones, there's been flesh, there's been sinews. We're recognizable as people. We're recognizable as the body of Christ, but there's still not life in us compared to what he has intended. We're still lacking something in that dimension of life. And he said to prophesy, come four winds and breathe. That little asterisk, it means to puff as to inflate. In other words, we're still like we are, but we need to be puffed on. There needs to be something inflated on the inside where this life that we call Christianity, that we call walking with Jesus, being a friend of Jesus, it has another dimension to it that we haven't walked in, but we've read about in other dispensations, in other time, in other people, in other localities where the glory of God has come and touched a group of people, touched a community in ways that supernatural things happen that are unexplainable scientifically, socially, psychologically, because of the presence of God, because of the glory of God. And in that place, it's called life. Amen? I'm looking for that. I believe he's releasing that. It's going to happen. The instruction was literally prophesied to the prophecy. God, in other words, God said, I've said this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to breathe on them and there will be life and they'll come together bone to bone, sinew to sinew. I'll put flesh on it. But then he said, I'm going to actually breathe in them. I'm going to puff in them and they're going to come forth and they're going to have life. And after Ezekiel had done all of that, he saw everything but the life. And God said, prophesy again. But this time prophesy to the breath. Tell the breath, the ruah of God, tell that to come into it. Because I've given the promise. I've said this is going to happen and there will be life. And so far, part A has happened, but not part B. And he said, prophesy again. Speak to the breath. Prophesy to the prophecy. How many have had promises of God over your life spoken prophetically? And if you haven't, we're going to set this up. I forgot to get a date today. But we're going to set up at the estuary prophetic teams and give you an opportunity to sign up. If you've never had prophetic ministry by a presbyter, two or three people trained in prophetic ministry, begin to pray over you, begin to see things, begin to release promises, it's life-changing. And those are things that, you know, they might be on the shelf. We used to say, well, if it isn't God, just put it on the shelf. I don't agree with that. I think put it in prayer, not on the shelf. Amen? But it's a time for fulfillment of these things. It's time to prophesy to those prophecies and say, this is the appointed time by God for my favor, for my health to spring forth, for my connections, for my covenant to begin to manifest. Because not only have you done an inward transformation, God, you're calling for prosperity over our lives. In Jesus' name. And he said, part of the promise, I'm going to give you something that's yours. If you've been feeling displaced all your life because of not having a home and just your own circumstances, this is a new season. Amen. We've been declaring, God told us he's going to give us a building supernaturally. I'm prophesying into that prophecy. The man in England that called me out within the first couple minutes of getting up on the podium, Michael Maiden, he's a prophet and a pastor from the Phoenix area. And he said, I met this man. I need to start before we go into the meeting. I need to prophesy to him. Call me out. Gave me a word about the new Jesus movement that was coming to California. And then he said, and God's going to give you a supernatural building. Now, this man knows what a supernatural building is because he was given a shopping mall in Phoenix. So he understands supernatural, and he understands space, and he understands building. And he said that to us, that we're going to get a supernatural building. I'm prophesying to the prophecy. Amen? It's time. Let breath come into that. Let breath come into people that are going to be involved in that and are going to be influencing that. Let breath come into every civic leader, every banker, every financial source, every charity, every open door that could be opened, every window of heaven that can be opened. We say pour out and open up in Jesus' name. Not just for this location, but everywhere we're supposed to plant in Jesus' name. Amen. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived. Just like he said they would. They lived. And not only did they live, when they stood up, apostrophes here, they kind of mess up the flow. It said, and they lived, comma, and stood up on their feet, comma, an exceeding great army. I don't believe that's what happened. I believe when breath came in, they stood up, an exceeding great army. It was one motion. Now God's promise was fulfilled. Breath came into them. He puffed in them. And when they stood up, they had the presence of an army. And they were standing before him. An army that would carry his kingdom, carry his message, that could be sanctified, where his name could be sanctified in the midst of the heathen. Amen? So you're not living till you're enlisted. Amen? That's the message. Until we're enlisted, until we stand up, until we've been puffed in and we come up as an identity, as an army, we haven't been living yet. But he's got something for us. And the thing people think about this army of God, you think about our military and the training and the hard work, all of that, super important. And thank God we got the best military in the world. And it's getting better every week, every month. But with that, you can take on this kind of, well, as hostile, and you know, there can be negative emotions. But the fact, God's army is more like this. See, I want you to come to my party. Amen? Because in the scripture, he talks about, you know, there was a certain man who had a great banquet, and he invited people to his table. That's really what this is. The army of God is to come to the table of God and to hear instructions on what your role is. And you don't have to take a bayonet and stab anybody. You don't have to be a sniper and ever shoot anybody. That our calling is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and powers. It's about an authority that comes into God's people, and we begin to say enough is enough to principalities and powers. Spirits of wickedness and spirits of darkness that hold back the people of God. The scripture said, if this gospel be hid, it's hid to them who are perishing, whom the god of this world, little g, has blinded their minds. Guess what? Take the blindfold off in Jesus' name. Release eyes. Release hearts in Jesus' name. Release captives right now. We pray, God, that you just break through and you open up eyes, you open up ears, you open up hearts to perceive and to hear and to understand what your kingdom is about, because this isn't a wicked thing. It's not a violent thing. It's really about being invited to his table, coming to his party. Jesus started his ministry at a wedding feast. He's going to end at the end of the book. It's a wedding feast. You're guests at the wedding feast. Matter of fact, we're the guests, but we're also the bride, which is a mystery in itself. But that's what we've been called to be. He wants you. Angel Sam is saying, I want you. Amen? He's pointing out. I dressed up like Angel Sam one time. It was fun. I put a white nylon stocking, an all-white suit, white hat, white cotton beard, and then gave commissions off of a Rolodex. It was awesome. So God is releasing the second breath. Amen. Prophesy to your prophecies so you might live the life he designed for you. Prophesy to your prophecies so you might live the life the designed for you. Amen. Because here it is. There's a valley, but if you look close in the graphic, those are soldiers saluting. He's called us out of dry bones. He's called us out of a battlefield where our memory's only about the defeats. Called us into a new time, a new era, a new strength, a new dimension. And we're saluting the king. He's calling us out of the valley of decision. We've made a decision. He's calling us out of the graveyard because we're alive. Calling us out of the fallen battlefield because now he's putting victory in us. It's a different time. Amen? It's a different time. It's a different time. Prophesy to your prophecies so you might live the life he designed for you. Father, we thank you for the people of God. Thank you for promises that have been made over our lives. Yeah, worship team, you can come on up.
Thank you for the prophecies. Thank you for the promises. Let's just take a second in the presence of the Holy Spirit and ask Him to quicken things to us. I want you to think about promises. Even the outlandish ones. Exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or think. You know, there was a long period of time in my life when, and as a pastor, I felt obligated to protect people. So when something too grandiose, when something too big, when things would be prophesied or shared, and they come and said, I had this dream, I always wanted to kind of temper it and say, well, I know that could be God, but just we don't know how it's going to come to pass. So, you know, you're always speaking back, just patience. And I had to live that way because of many disappointments in my Christian walk, where I would guard my heart because I didn't want to get disappointed, because where hope is deferred, your heart becomes sick. And so there is an element of wisdom about just guarding your own heart, protecting your heart, so that you something is called and projected and you cut it in half right away, or cut it by two-thirds, just to say, well, that's more in my believing range. That's more what I can grasp in my intellect. And we all do that. And, you know, there are seasons of time, especially when you're in survival mode, that those things are just smart. But I'm believing it may not be today, but it could be. But there's a time of God's outpouring. There's a time when He makes a decision, I'm going to sanctify my name and I'm going to end the argument. He knows how difficult it is for us to share the gospel in this culture. It's just one of another conversations. And I'm telling you, the theology that's being stirred up among millennials, and it's emerging, this universalist doctrine and this universalist spirit, it's the trickiest spirit and the trickiest argument that I've ever dealt with, bar none. And it's becoming mainstream. And so God is going to settle it. I believe that for a faithful people that will prophesy and will say, God, I'm tired of conversations. Will you flex? We just need you to flex. We need you to manifest yourself. And that was the same situation they were in. They were intermarried. They were in a culture that had become, it was the dominant culture. The Babylonian culture was the dominant culture. And they saw the benefits of that. Yet it said different times where their heart longed to be back into their nation. And I know that God's looking upon those who are longing to see the kingdom manifest. I just want clarity for people. Amen. I just, nothing's more of a blessing. Just bring clarity so people can see God. It's so intermingled. It's so meshed together that it gets frustrating leading. It gets frustrating witnessing. It gets frustrated in those conversations. And I feel like God gave me this promise. This for me is my word for 2018. This is what I'm believing. That there is a second breath coming. And you know the good thing about it? I don't have to wait for a breath. I can be the breath. I can prophesy and speak into things. That's actually the instruction is, you know what the promises of God are, prophesy into it. Speak a second time. Amen? We've seen some things, the first fruits, but speak a second time. It's like the former and the latter rain. The latter rain is the second breath. Speak a second time. Prophesy into those things and see what God does. Amen? Let's stand up on our feet. Josiah, I'm going to turn it over to you in a second. I just want to pray and release a blessing right now. Thank you, Father. God, you're a good, good Father. And I thank you as your name is sanctified, as people are going to understand that you've always been a good, good Father. Where the enemy has defamed your character, and where, because we've been also victimized by the same losses and the same suffering, we haven't known what to say, and oftentimes we just remain quiet. But yet in our hearts, your Spirit is telling us that your love is constant, your love is unwavering, that you can never do anything other than love, because you are love. And we've known that in our spirit, but our heads have had to intermingle with all kinds of arguments, all kinds of stuff. And so we've been part of that. We have been part of the compromise that have allowed people to think what they have towards you. We just start off right now in this moment before we ask for your blessing to come. We just take a moment of inspection and a moment of repentance before you. that, God, I've been part of the problem. And I ask you to forgive me. And I believe you're breathing on us. And you're preparing us for when breath comes in. And life hits this place. And life hits families and marriages and individuals. In Jesus' name. And we invite you, God, prophesy to the prophecies that you have given us life and life abundantly. Prophesy how Jesus of Nazareth went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the enemy. We prophesy into the promises of Scripture that we would be your people and you would be our God. That you'd never leave us nor forsake us. That you'd prosper us. That you'd open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing till there's not room enough to contain it. That we'd be the head and not the tail. We'd be blessed coming in and we'd be blessed going out. We'd be blessed in the city and we'd be blessed in the field. That's the promise. And we thank you. You have a plan. We're prophesying to it in Jesus' name. Thank you that you said joy would be our portion. That the kingdom of heaven consists of peace, righteousness, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the promise. And we prophesy to that. That higher joy levels are in my home. Peace is in my home. Righteousness is in my home. It's in my heart and it's increasing. Peace, righteousness, and joy in the kingdom of heaven is increasing. Confusion, oppression, in Jesus' name. Depression, you are of another spirit. You come from another source. And we speak to you today and we cut you off in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray supernaturally that you quicken faith. That you quicken faith today. That it's listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, that faith can be a supernatural gift. It can be a process of developing in one hand, but it also can be a supernatural impartation that comes by the Holy Spirit. And I'm asking you, because we're gathered together in your name, that you would release faith right now in hearts. Supernatural faith to believe for things we haven't been able to believe for. And that includes several people that are stuck in chronic situations. That you've been stuck in chronic situations. Father, I ask you for a gift of faith right now to go and touch them, to fill their hearts and put a different confession in their mouth. Put a prophetic word in their mouth and let them see themselves whole. Let them see themselves healthy. Let them see themselves prospering in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I speak to literal brains right now. In Jesus' name. I just think about that commercial where if something from a jellyfish can heal your brain, what about something from God's Holy Spirit? What about something from the throne of grace? What about something from Jesus Christ who is the healer right now? I speak into brains in Jesus' name. Speak to brains where you've been damaged. Where you've been damaged, where you're misfiring, where there's blockages in Jesus' name. I speak into brains, life and life abundantly. Quickening of the intellect. Quickening of the reason, quickening of the memory in Jesus' name. Balanced and chemical flow in Jesus' name. God, we pray for that alignment between the gut and the brain. And we speak into guts who have been messed up a lot of times by antibiotics. I thank you for proper digestive flora. That might seem strange to you, but there's an amazing connection. You know, most of your neurotransmitters are developed in the lining of your gut. There's more nerve cells in your gut than there is in your head. Your serotonin and your dopamine is directly dependent on how well you take care of your gut. And God knows all of that. And we speak into you right now in Jesus' name. I curse candida. I curse overgrowths that are competing with the healthy things that we need for our brains and our body. In Jesus' name, let there be a change. Let there be something, God, now. Touch us by your energy. Adjust and correct us. We're your people. Cause us to stand up as a great and mighty army. Cause us to prophesy to the prophecies to see your covenant fulfilled. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You said if a city would, a light would be set on the hill, then all the world could see it. We believe you're preparing us that you could set us on a hill that the world would see and know that God is alive in our midst. We're proud to be your people, God. We're proud to have you as our God. And we thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.